This evening we have several really neat things. One of the neat things, I have a really short lesson for you. And that'll be appreciated because after that, we got a young man asked to be baptized. And Zach, we're so proud of you. And Tim's going to baptize him, and I'll just stand up here and say good things. And we'll want to do that afterward. Following that is probably the best time. We'll have a congregational meeting. We really encourage you to be here and be part of that. I'll tell you where we are now, what we're doing, and where we hope to go in this coming year. The lesson this evening is entitled Risk Takers. In fact, if you want a subscript to that, it's Risk Takers, Caretakers, and Undertakers. Sometimes people ask me, where do you get titles like that? I steal them. That's what I do. The people have a great title. I thought, oh, yeah, but now how I would say it is this. And so I have my own points and slides, but I liked the title that I came across. And so I want to talk about being a risk taker. Because in all of life, there's a risk. Having children is a risk. Having a job is a risk. Driving in your car coming to here is a risk. Asking a girl on a date is a risk. Getting married. Everything you do has challenges with it, including being a Christian. And so I thought I would just title this Risk Takers. And then right at the end, we'll just look at two slides for caretakers and undertakers. What I mean by that. One definition is a risk taker is someone who risks everything in the hope of achievement and accepts greater potential for loss in decisions. There's people that are risk averse. Oh boy, can't do anything. Watch out. It might rain. You could stub your toe. You might lose several dollars on it and they might turn you down. And there are all kinds of things where people, that scares them to death. I would like to talk about us being the biblical kind of risk takers. There's a nature of risk takers in that they have heightened expectations. I talked to a guy one time in different congregation and it just surprised me. He says, I don't set goals. I don't want people to expect anything of me. Here's a mature guy with grown children and he doesn't want people to expect anything. There's things I don't expect much out of. I don't expect much out of slugs. I mean, they just are. They slime their way along, eat a little garbage or strawberries or whatever they're going. But I don't expect a lot out of them. But out of believers, you think there's more going on. And so risk takers, the biblical kind, will have heightened expectations. We could do this. That's possible. I have on a graphic a kind of a bridge that I have cross, that is swinging bridge with the independent steps not connected to each other. You do that different places and one of them, that kind of thing anyhow, you can do, I think, Northwest Trek and so forth. Now in this one, I just want to point out, they really aren't crazy. They have for themselves, each one of them has a safety helmet on. Each one of them has a harness on. And they have a lanyard or lead to this independent wire. If you fall, you're not going to go more than 3 feet. Now, it may be you're standing out over 400 feet of, oh, no. And when you step on one step, that one starts swinging. And the one you were on swings the other way. And you may or may not be able to see it. His handhold, what he's doing is taking two of the lines, like between the one he's leaving and the one he's going to, whichever direction they're going, and he's holding them together. He's doing wise things. There is a risk. You could fall 3 feet. Somebody would think, man, is that stupid? But aside from that, it's limited risk. Risk takers are in a state of constant learning. It's not, yeah, I know this, I tried that, I did it 10 years ago, and one guy was talked about an individual in a corporate realm who they're looking to promote somebody, and they said, well, what about Harold here? And I said, no, I'm not going to take Harold. I'm going to take Phil, I'll say. And why not? Harold has 20 years of experience. And the manager said he doesn't have 20 years of experience. He has 1 year of experience 20 times over. He never grew. He never challenged himself. He never learned more, never tried to do more. And we'll talk about some of that this evening when we talk about, from my standpoint, goals and questions and answers. And that, what do you want to do? How do you want to exercise your talents? And it's always a state of kind of butterflies. You say, Paul, how long you been preaching? I have been preaching this year, it'll be 45 years. After 45 years of getting up here and preaching a 20-minute sermon, do you have butterflies? And the answer is, of course I do. There's always there. And I think what that does is that adds a little bit more, rather than complacency of, oh, I'll cover a couple scriptures. I want it to be, though shorter, I want it to be the best I can. I want it to motivate. I want it to honor God. I want it to be in line with what He wants. And so as Christians, we're always learning. In marriage, young people, I'll just tell you, you get married and you do not learn at all in the first 2 years or in the first 20 years. All the way along, this year, Lord gives us life. This July, it'll be 50 years. It's a continuing state of learning because you change, you grow, your circumstances, and you have to adapt. And you have to have an attitude of embracing change. Al Craig, down in the Market Street congregation, back when computers first started coming out, he was resistant to them. He said, well, and Lowell would tell him, he said, look, I mean, you just, stuff we know now, you just type along and you can backspace and erase and write and all those things. And Al Craig said, well, I've got me a pencil. And that can backspace and erase and do those kind of things. He just wasn't enthusiastic about moving on. And I looked at it when it first came out. I thought, wow, what am I going to do about this? I was probably in my mid-40s when it came into my sphere. And I thought, Paul, it's just a matter of learning it. And so back in the dinosaur days called DOS, and you had to memorize all this code, that's where I started. And I just didn't memorize code, but I could write. So I make little cheat sheets, little 3x5 cards. All right, you want to do this, blah, 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 blah. And eventually Windows and so forth. But whatever it is, life keeps on changing. And a person that's a risk taker is willing to accept reasonable risks and move forward. And lastly, the point I want to emphasize, it's faith. With some young people this afternoon was talking about, as far as being risk takers, and we're going to look at just a handful of them in the Bible. And what was one of the common denominators that they had? There was a goal that was bigger than they were, and they had the faith to do it. That's the thing. We looked at person after person after person, men, women, Old Testament, New Testament, it's always the same. So when I say be a risk taker, I am not saying being an idiot. You ever watch some of those dumbest criminals and the dumbest this and that? Well, late last night, so on Saturday night, I keep right on working through the wee hours to get it, the lesson, the way I'd like it to be. And here was one of these dumbest kind of things. And so my point is, do not be an idiot. I watched it on TV and I thought, I wonder if it's on the internet. It is. What you're looking at in this graphic here is some kind of truck, maybe it's a Dodge or something, and it's zooming down a road, let's say 25 miles an hour, dirt road, in this desert area, and there's some kind of cactus, saguaro, or whatever that is. And you can see, man, this thing has needles. And there is a new sport called body slamming. The truck is going 25 miles an hour, and he's getting ready to jump. And I thought, well, okay, now he's going to have safety equipment. He's going to have a body armor on. You look at this guy. Oh, no. No, he's got ripped Levi's and a hoodie sweatshirt and a pair of sunglasses. That is it. And as the car goes, he body slams a 10-foot-tall cactus. Don't body slam cacti. You can hear it. He goes, oh, and he's laying on there. I mean, face cut. Cactus needles all over, and they got him in the back of the truck, and you watch him pulling out of the skin. By the time he gets to the hospital, he's in the hospital, they pull out 100 more needles. Anybody want to be next up? Me neither. And so it's just nutty. Why would you do that? Yet you could hardly say bragging rights It doesn't reach that echelon. And so when I talk about being biblical risk takers, I'm going to talk about serious ones. And I just have a little handful here. And so here's a graphic of Daniel praying by his window. Daniel 6 and verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document was signed, here was a governmental letter that you were not allowed to pray or ask a question of anybody except the king for 30 days. When Daniel knew the document was signed, he entered his house, his windows were open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Oh, wow. So this graphic has two kind of the enemy guys kind of hunkered down around the corner, sneaking around. Daniel was a risk taker. Well, you do that, you get thrown in a lion's den. Did he go in a lion's den? Yeah, he went in a lion's den. He was a risk taker. And he had the faith. And he came out of there as well. Daniel had a goal that was bigger than himself. And he had faith. In Daniel chapter 3 and down in verse 17 and 18, you had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they wouldn't fall down and worship, in this case, a metallic image. And the king was told about it, and they were brought before him. And they say, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." But now he can do that. But even if he does not, if he chooses not to, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. What did they have? Those qualities that every risk taker has in the Bible. They had a goal bigger than themselves, and they had faith to take that first step. That's the thing I'd mentioned a couple weeks ago when I wanted to start getting back into weight training and exercise and such as that. And Ann Hoover came through the door and I said, "Hey, the marathon queen." She said, "Oh no, it starts with believing and then you take the first step." I said, "Wow, that was encouraging to me." Because I've told a bunch of people recently, at 27 I had hip pain during distance running, and later years, I just gave it up, and then it got so painful. Walking a half mile on a level surface was just excruciating, depending on the day. Went to the doctors, and they said, "You don't have arthritis." And they said, "Well, maybe it's the IT band," and Denise Lopez, and another one said, "I think that's what you got." They said, "Do these exercises." Because I quit believing that I could run anymore, or I could hike. And for the last month, we've been walking, we've been hiking. 2 days ago, I thought, "I wonder if I could run." I thought, "I'm not going to be able to get out here and run for 5 miles. I thought, when I started up a hill, I thought, "I wonder if I could go 50 feet. Well, I went up the hill, down the hill, back up the hill, back down the hill. I said, "Wow, he could do it." I thought, "Paul, let's see if you could run a quarter mile." I said, "I think I can." I made a quarter mile before the pain started. I thought, "You know, I bet you keep doing the right kind of exercise. I bet I can do a little bit more." It starts with believing, and then you take the first step. How about Esther as one of the biblical risk takers? In Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, when Mordecai said, "You need to go see the king," she said, "He hadn't sent for me." He said, "If you don't, know that you and your father's house will perish, and God will raise up help from another area." And she said, "I will go to the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." That is, she had faith and an issue that was greater than herself. Are those things there in your, I got a couple more points and we'll close. Is there things in your life kind of scary, anything? Yeah, but, and if, and what? But it's, the issue is greater than you are. It's somebody else's salvation, somebody you could talk to about Christ, and you've been thinking about it and putting it off, and what if they decline, and what if I say the wrong thing, and what if they ask me a question and I look dumb? Well, you know, dumb happens. But is it an issue greater than yourself? And do you have the faith to take the first step? How about with Ruth in Ruth 1:16? To Naomi, Ruth said, "Where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge, and your people will be my people." Naomi, I want to tell you the kind of loyalty I'm willing to show to you. Wherever you go, I'm a Moabite woman. I'm your daughter-in-law. Son-in-law has died. But I'm going to go wherever you go. And the people of your heritage will become the people that I now take as my tribal nation. And your God will be my God. I'm going to put away the foreign and idolatrous gods of Moab, and the God you serve will be the God that I serve, and where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. I want to tell you the kind of loyalty I'm going to show to you. Wow. She had a cause greater than herself, and she had the faith to take the first step. Because of that, she ended up in the lineage of Christ. Wow, what a great deal. How about the Apostle Paul? In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 8, he said, "I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." He said, "Yeah, but what is everybody going to say? And what's my parents going to say? And what's the Sanhedrin going to say? And what's all the Pharisees? I was a Pharisee among Pharisees." You got a choice to make. And because you're going to be chosen as apostle and be sent to the Gentiles, it's an issue greater than yourself. And you've got to have faith to take it. And he went on up there to Damascus, and Ananias baptized him. He said, "But I count everything like trash on Tuesday for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." We see that same kind of attitude in David in 1 Samuel 17:37, when he's talking to Saul, and here is Goliath, and here's this little valley, and Philistines are on one hillside, and have been there, and it's not very far apart, and it's not as high as Federal Way is from Kent, and not as deep as a valley, and so. But the Israelites are stymied. You got a champion that we can't beat. And David goes to Saul, and he said, "I will confront this Philistine." He said, "Well, you're but a youth, and he's been a warrior from his youth." And David says, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Why? Well, he had something the Philistine hadn't counted on. See, I got this rock, and I know how to use it. Let's say if you could hurl a rock approaching the speed of a bullet from 75 feet. Wow. And the giant fell. So I just got a couple ending slides, but I want, in this part, ask you, are you willing to be that visionary, that biblical risk taker of stepping out and say, "Oh boy, that's kind of scary out there. And what if they ask me to lead a prayer or hand out the Lord's Supper or meet one of the visitors or, oh my goodness, invite somebody home? Man, what do they think about my house?" And what? It doesn't matter. You're not inviting them over to be a housing inspector. You're inviting them over to show them hospitality and love. Because some people aren't risk takers. Some people are the caretakers. Matthew 25 and verse 25, here's that one talent man. He said, "I was afraid. I went away and hid your talent in the ground, and you got what's yours. Lord, I didn't do anything. I didn't invite anybody. I didn't teach anything. I didn't open my home. I given you back the gifts that you gave me. And Lord, you got nothing," is where it comes down to. But the master answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy slave." Some people are just caretakers. They kind of watch, "Yeah, it's all there, Lord, but we're not doing anything with it." And then finally, there are some undertakers. And from this, I'm talking about They're ushering their soul into eternity and in the wrong area. Acts 24, 25, the Roman provincial governor, Felix, up there in Capernaum, Paul is standing before him and pleading his case and talking about righteousness and justice and self-control. And Felix became frightened. Why? Well, Felix is not a good guy. That he ruled with ruthlessness. He would use the assassins if he wanted to bump somebody off. Absolutely vicious. And Paul is talking about righteousness and self-control. And Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." Preachers oftentimes say, without reading the next verse, you know, the older version say, "in a more convenient season." Apparently, never found a more convenient season because the Bible doesn't record that. Well, that's not exactly so. Let's look at the next verse. At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But when 2 years passed, I mean, he talked with him all the time. "Hey, Paul, how you doing? Okay, well, tell me some more about this. And, you know, you could get out of here. I mean, you'd have to grease the wheels of justice, if you know what I mean." And, well, Paul carried back thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars from European churches, Asia Minor churches, to Palestine. So he thought, well, you got access to money. Paul wasn't going to do that. And Felix never changed. After 2 years, he was succeeded by Festus. So, what are you going to be? Are you going to be a risk taker? Are you going to be a caretaker? Or will you be an undertaker? You've got to have a goal bigger than yourself. And the faith to take the first step. If you'd like to respond to this evening's invitation, we're going to be looking in our red supplemental book, song number 286, "We Are One." If you'd like to respond, we encourage you to come on forward.